live and local. This is Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Welcome, everybody. It's good to be back with you. Tonight we took a break last week because Wee Wonka and the factory were going up north, where awaiting them was FBI t-shirts.
That was pretty original.
It was at Virginia Commonwealth.
Wait till they get to the Southeastern Conference game. It should be off the charts.
Yeah, I guess so.
That was really original, the FBI shirts and the caps.
Yes.
Throwing $100, fake $100 bills in the air. Okay, you know, welcome to...
Hold on one second, guys. Let me see.
I still have a hum, but I can hear myself now.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Hear me?
Yeah.
Mic check.
This has never happened, of course.
No.
Before. That's why we're used to
it. Now, back to Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
We apologize for our technical ineptitude, but it happens every once in a while. It certainly happens on this show. Yeah, that little hum is there, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the deal is with that.
Usually, if you hit something really hard.
Yeah, if you hit something really hard, the mics might go out there.
Yeah, well, we just lost everything a little while ago.
Not a big deal. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Minus one. Glenn Quibito's not with us tonight. Bobby Ardwan, Bruce Brown, Tom Brown, I'm Don Allen. Glenn is not with us this evening. And I'm not sure why.
Well, he had laryngitis yesterday, and he's having sinusitis. It's kind of been making its way around. I had it for a couple of weeks and had to end up going to get a shot and some medicine last Saturday because it just wouldn't go away. I think it's just kind of gone around everywhere. It's everywhere. I mean, you know, I've seen football teams that have 30 kids missing at practice because they all have, you know, sinuses and flu and stuff.
That's not fun.
No, not at all. You know? So it's been going around. But we'll try and keep him informed on everything that we argue about tonight, and maybe we can get him to call his picks in later or something.
No, we don't need to do that. You can call in. He can text him in. You know, if he's that poorly off, we're not gonna put him to the test.
Well, we sure missed a lot of good football last week by being bumped off the air.
I know.
Man.
But, you know, you had to get Willie and the boys on.
Yeah.
Contract.
Willie and the boys didn't do too well either.
Yeah. No, they didn't. They didn't. But it's a contract. You know, so we can do what we can do. We're not contracted.
No.
We're contracted to 12 shrimp per week at Prejean's. That's what we're contracted to. And that's the extent of it.
That's it.
Clint's on the phone. I guess he's on the phone with the engineer. Saying we have a hum here. We don't know what it is.
Well, let's talk about college football, man.
Let's talk about the hum.
All right, well.
Fine, talk about college football.
No, go ahead.
All right, let's talk about the hum that went through LSU's defense last week. How do you give up 600 yards
to Ole Miss?
How do you give up, are you all aware of this, in consecutive games against Alabama and against Ole Miss? They have a combined 1,160 yards of offense against LSU's defense.
And
you're telling me this is the number one team in the country? I have a hard time going for that.
As long as we keep scoring.
I have a hard time hearing anything you're saying. Are you on the air?
I'm trying to be.
That helped.
One thing about the LSU-Ole Miss game that was quite astonishing last week was that Ole Miss has a very limited offense. They have a quarterback who probably runs 50% of the snaps, and they don't have the receivers that they had last year. Two of them, of course,
thank God,
were high NFL draft choices. And they're not going to win a national championship with that defense.
A quarterback rushed like 10 times for 200 yards.
Yeah,
is that more or less what the stat was?
A freshman quarterback, from Hattiesburg.
And this has been a developing problem for them, is defense. You know, it's, we've talked about it before, is if anyone ever figures out a way to slow them down on offense, they'll be in trouble, because they haven't really stopped anyone. Now, I could see with Alabama. I mean, that's a good offense, but not Ole Miss, not the way they've been struggling, and not some of the other teams that they've given up three or four touchdowns to. You know, I don't care how much you're ahead, play defense, you know, stop someone.
Just for reference, does Clemson play defense?
I'm not sure. I mean, Clemson has fallen so under the radar this year.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody's paid that much attention to them. I know their games have been on television, but, you know, not the kind of things where the whole country's tuning in to watch.
I don't know how you can be the defending national champion and undefeated and not be in the top five of the playoff picture, you know? How?
With a quarterback that is a legitimate Heisman guy.
Yes, yes.
And Lawrence. Well,
running back leading the nation in rushing. I mean, from Jennings.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Jennings.
Yeah. How did that get out of the state?
You just don't – there's just no way to figure these ratings and how they come about, you know, because all the talk is on what's going to happen with Georgia and Alabama and LSU and Auburn until this weekend when, of course, Georgia beat Auburn. But – you know, that who's going to get that spot with one loss? Well, Clemson's not even in there, and they got no losses. So what's all the talk about? Who's picking this, and how is it? It's computers, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of the Clemson issue is strength of schedule.
Schedule, yeah.
I think, but it's one of the factors that go in. It's one of the benchmarks that go into deciding who's going to be in that top four.
Some of that's not their fault, though. They're in a lousy conference.
I'm kind of worried of all the SEC apologists saying, well, you know, it's the greatest conference out there. It's the strongest conference out there. It's not.
It's not.
It's not. You know, pay attention. You're top heavy. LSU, yeah. Alabama, and then I think after that they're pretenders in Auburn, Georgia, and Florida. They're not contenders. They're pretenders, and then you get down. Then you get down to the middle and the end of it. This is not a good conference this year. It's just not.
Western Kentucky defeats Arkansas, and they just didn't defeat Arkansas. They dominated Arkansas. Western Kentucky,
45-17, wasn't it?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, they're really down at Arkansas. I don't know what they're. I don't know what they're going to do there, but they're years away. You know, they're not going to turn that around.
They're preaching patience, but you know. Can you keep a guy that gets routed by Western?
And the Western.
No, everything I read or hear about is he's out of here.
Yeah.
The guy at Arkansas.
He's got to be.
The Western Kentucky quarterback in that game played at Arkansas 2 years ago. That's what was the hilarious part.
Yeah. Well, they did have a lot of players that kind of defected. They went to your favorite place, the portal, you know, and went elsewhere because they just weren't happy there. But I didn't think Bienema was doing that bad of a job, you know? I mean, it's just the way it is today. If you don't win 10 or 12 games and go to the championship, people want to run you out, you know?
No, you have to not get beat by Western Kentucky.
Well, that's true,
by
too.
Four touchdowns, and you're, quote, an SEC school.
Yeah.
You know? Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Arkansas. I don't know about Texas A&M yet.
Mississippi State.
You know, South Carolina.
Yeah, they're struggling.
Appalachian State beat South Carolina. A Sun Belt team. A very good Sun Belt team.
Yeah.
And
that won't be part of the Sun Belt for much longer, I don't think.
No. Coming back to LSU's defense, I read a headline in The Advocate this morning that talked about possibly Joe Burrow, the quarterback for LSU, playing linebacker. And I thought to myself, that ain't a bad idea, you know, the way he plays.
Like now?
Yeah.
This year?
Yeah, this
year. I don't think...
You know, the whole story, of course, they were alluding to the fact that Burrow plays like a linebacker. You know, he
plays hard, yeah.
And he run, you know, he's run over a few people.
You know, he just hasn't avoided contact with people.
Right.
He's already been quoted as saying, "I don't slide." You know, okay. You better get used to sliding starting next year.
Yeah. You're going to slide in a year.
When you're with the Dolphins or the Bengals, yeah, you better.
You know, look at some of the young quarterbacks though playing in the NFL. And look, Burrow's had a great year, and he's a talented quarterback. Is he really going to be that good in the NFL? Can he be that good in the NFL?
I think a lot of, Tom, I think a lot of Burrow's
system.
I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't argue with you because I don't know enough about it. But I would point to, A, the speed of his receivers.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, to me, the biggest thing with Burrow is his vision and his escapability. I mean, you can put people on him, and darned if he doesn't seem to step around him and find the open spot.
He's so nimble in the pocket.
And when he finds the open spot, you know, he drills it.
He's got a touch on deep balls.
Now, can he do that in the NFL? I don't know. This is not Lamar Jackson we're talking about.
No, and like I said, he's played great. You know, you can't take anything
away
from him.
No, he is the Heisman winner right now.
It's just like, can he do that in the NFL? Will he be allowed to do that in the NFL, in an NFL system?
Well, he's going to go to a lousy team, so he's got to sit tight for a little while.
5 or 6 years, yeah.
He got somebody clumped.
Yeah, we got Kent on the line. What's the kind of continue the conversation we got going on right now?
Oh, do we? What you got, Kent?
Yeah, well, thank you all for taking my call. Several things. Number one, Clemson's getting flack because they barely beat North Carolina, 21-20. That's why. And Trevor Lawrence is not the same Trevor Lawrence that he was last year. That's why Clemson is catching flack. The Arkansas coach has already been fired. He's not getting fired. He's fired already.
Told you.
Yeah.
Told you. God, they heard it here and said, "You're out of here, dude."
Yeah, you hit that one on the head, Don. Nice call.
That's okay. What else?
Yeah, and LSU defense, y'all correct, they're not playing up to par. I don't know what. Maybe they just have to outscore everybody for the rest of the season. That seemed to what's going on. So
far.
I mean, Joe Burrow is accurate, and they have elite receivers. So, hey. You keep doing it till somebody stops you. I don't think anybody can stop that offense, to be honest with you.
Here's the scary thing, Ken. I think they are playing up to par on defense. I think that's their par, and it's just not very good.
Well, then that's a problem, then.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's a problem, then. Yeah. Well, like I said, hopefully, well, looking at these games, well, Georgia can't score with LSU, so it'd have to be in the Final Four where somebody can score with them and have a good defense like Ohio State.
I agree with you.
Beat them, but,
I agree with
you. I don't think nobody else will beat LSU, not this year, the way that offense is clicking.
You got a point.
But thank y'all.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Well, again, thanks for calling in.
I surely haven't seen anyone else in the country on the games that I've watched that can score with them, except for the second half of the Oklahoma-Baylor game. Was that ever wild? Did anybody see that?
Oklahoma can score with everybody.
Oh, man.
Oklahoma's defense
Oklahoma
is a lot like
score.
Ole Miss's.
Yeah.
They're not stopping anybody.
But can Oklahoma squeeze into the playoff?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, by the way, and you've all seen the ratings. LSU is number one again, and according to the percentages that, or whatever system these people are using, whatever formulas, LSU is an 85% chance to make the playoff right now. All right. Ohio State is number two. They're an 87% chance to make the playoffs. Clemson is number three. They're an 84% chance. And then comes Georgia, which is like 38%.
You got a lot of questions about that number four spot.
Ton of questions. And I don't think it's going to be Georgia.
No.
By the time all is said and done, I think it's going to be Alabama or Oklahoma.
It possibly could. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is that Alabama has played themselves out of the championship game, so they don't get a chance to make that statement in the championship.
No, they don't get a chance to lose in the championship game either.
That's true. That's true.
You know, there are two ways to look at it. I kind of like Oklahoma, and there are some people out there that like Oregon, although I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, Oregon's a longer shot just because the Pac-12 doesn't get any respect for what they got.
If Oregon doesn't have that ridiculous loss to Auburn where they, you know, won it on a miracle toward the end, you know, these guys are unbeaten, and they're right in our conversation right now. And I think they're probably fourth if they come in unbeaten.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's just so much fun to watch, you know, and I think that they've got the feel-good story of the year with Jalen Hurts. Everybody wants him to be in the playoffs so that people were wanting him to be in the playoffs so he could face Alabama, but I don't think they can both get in for that to happen now. So
and then there's a speculation of a Sugar Bowl with Alabama and Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma, yeah.
The obvious matchup there.
That would be awesome.
Hurt, so that kind of changes that.
I think the only way they're going to meet is if it's in a bowl and neither one of them's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, then you match it up in a bowl, right.
But who goes fourth if neither one of those two teams? If neither Alabama, Georgia would have to be the one. Georgia would
not
have
necessarily.
To. Well,
not necessarily.
It's not going to be Penn State because they're going to lose this week for their second.
They're
loss.
Overrated, man.
Yeah, they're very overrated. Very overrated. There's just no one else.
Maybe the Ducks.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
You don't think the Ducks will get it?
I just don't think the Pac-12 is going to get
it. I think Oklahoma's
kind of
got a better chance than Oregon does. You know, but then again, we're sitting here saying, oh, Arkansas's coach is fired? We're right on top of
it.
Well,
I knew they said he was going to be. I just never saw the news that he was. You know, so, but they probably kept it quiet because they don't want anybody in Fayetteville to know about it, right?
That could be. That could be. By the way, Arkansas goes to LSU this week, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's going to be ugly. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
by halftime, it'll be ugly.
But this is an SEC team.
No, it's not right now. not at the current status. They're not an SEC team. But you know how you were talking about App State earlier not being in the Sun Belt much longer?
Yes.
I think App State is in the same situation as UL is in terms of moving conferences. It's their location, man. It's getting in and out of Boone that's going to be a problem for them to go to a bigger conference. You know, teams won't want to do that.
Not perhaps. The most accessible place in the world.
Perhaps.
No,
perhaps.
You got to fly
it's
in and then drive in a bus an hour and a half to get there.
Fayetteville isn't very accessible either. You don't necessarily fly into Arkansas.
Neither is Starkville.
No, neither is Starkville.
But they've been there.
Neither is Oxford. You fly into Memphis.
Right.
Yeah.
To get it done there. So, you know, there are exceptions to that rule, and I think you're right. I think Boone could be a problem.
Yeah.
But what is not a problem is the inescapable fact of their quality of their football program.
Definitely. But when the Cajuns beat them in the championship, we won't have to talk about that anymore, right?
No, we can talk about it again. We can talk about it again. You think those two are going to meet in the championship?
I don't see any way that UL falls out of the Western Division lead. I really don't.
Well, let's see. They've got to lose two more, right?
They've got Troy and ULM. And
Arkansas State has already been beaten by the Cajuns.
Right.
So they lose that. Who's left? ULM?
Yeah.
Troy and ULM, that's it.
Yeah.
Both here.
That's the two games. It's Troy this weekend and ULM next weekend. And
I don't think the fact that it's here has much to do with it. That's just in my opinion. They seem to play better on the road than they do at home.
They do play well on the road. And no question about that. I think Troy would be a little bit of a tussle on the road, but they're so, like you said, they're so good on the road this year that they've proven themselves, you know, unbeaten on the road.
Plus the fact, you know, UL's putting about 20,000 in there, and that's on a good day. On a good day, you're putting 2/3 of the stadium full. You're telling me that's an advantage necessarily?
Yeah.
I don't know that it is.
You'd like to think that if they're 10-2. Or with a chance to go 10-2 in the finale, that you'd have a little bit more than 20,000 people. But I wouldn't bet on it.
They barely got that at homecoming.
Yeah,
Bruce, and the weather wasn't bad.
No, the weather was
cool,
perfect.
It was nice, yeah.
I know you've got something on the phone before you go there. Did any of you happen to watch the Monday night game from Mexico City?
Yeah,
I didn't realize.
Wonderful turf.
I didn't realize it was in Mexico City.
Pretty bad,
City.
Teddy. Pretty bad.
Bad turf.
Did you notice the fact there were 76,000? I mean, there was not a seat open anywhere.
Oh yeah.
You know, you can show up in Ciudad de Mexico, to watch the NFL, but we can't get to Cajun Field to watch the Cajuns. I have a problem with that. Got a phone call.
Yeah, we got the Antagonator. I think it's something to do with a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Huck. Hey, the Antagonator's back.
Huck, how you doing?
Hey, man, I missed you last week. I was going to call and get a little redemption this week.
Look, I was not looking forward to last week, but I was going to sit here and take it. Okay, you've got it this week, Huck.
Yeah, what do you think about them Tigers now?
I think the offense is unstoppable. I think the defense is the largest sieve I've seen in a long time for a top-rated team.
Well, it's just because we were missing Michael Divinity and because Brent Delpit's still hurt.
Right, right. Okay, yeah, right. They gave up 600 yards. They gave up 600 yards to Ole Miss.
To a freshman quarterback.
Yeah. To a freshman.
A 5'10 freshman.
They're going to probably hold Delpit out this week, not play him against Arkansas and get him healthy for
They could hold their entire first unit out this week against Arkansas.
They shouldn't skull drag anyone that last week, I can tell you that.
No, it wasn't. But having said that, I'll say this. I've done a complete 360. I don't argue with anybody that says that your quarterback is not the Heisman Trophy winner. I think he is.
Oh, he's definitely, you know, right at this point in the season, without a doubt.
I saw Paul Wrongbaum saying that Ohio State should be the number one team, you know, and my thoughts on it is, you know, Ohio State, how many top 10 teams have they played this year, and how many top 15 teams have they played this year? The answer is zero. And I guarantee you, if we went back in a time machine and put LSU in their schedule and put them in LSU's schedule, LSU would have won every game by 50, and Ohio State would have two losses
by
right now.
50?
When you play Ohio State in the title game, you think it'll be a good game, or are you going to skull drag them?
Oh, we'll skull drag them like we did back in 07.
Okay. Ah, I love it, Huck.
Oh, gosh.
That's possible.
No,
They don't play SEC football in the Big Ten. They don't play teams like we do.
You mean like South Carolina and Mississippi State and Vanderbilt and Arkansas? You mean that level of competition? Look, Cuck, let's face it. You're very top heavy. You're very top heavy in the SEC this year. You've got LSU and Bama, and then you've got some pretenders after that.
Well, you still got to play Bama, Auburn, Florida, and all them.
Who's the them?
Yeah, there is more to that them, not this year.
And Ohio State's got to play Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, Iowa State.
We could go around on that, but I don't know about you, but I'm looking for it. I really hope it's LSU and Ohio State at some point in that playoff. I think that would be a most fun game to watch.
Yeah, that UMass game was a real tough game for Ohio State, wasn't it?
Probably ranked up there with what you're going to see this Saturday against Arkansas.
Or the Georgia Southern game.
Or Georgia Southern. Yeah, I forgot about them. Look, we got to take a break, Huck. You got your plaudits. We salute you. You were right. We were wrong.
Salute.
But we'll talk to you next week about it, too. 706-0111 here at the studios. Five guys, stories and lies. We'll be back after.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
By the way, I have not mentioned the fact Patrick Menace, former, I guess it was USL.
USL at the time.
Tennis player back at the time in the late 80s, early 90s.
Late 80s, yeah.
Is going to join us on the show from his home in Arizona. Most of you will remember, or not remember, but most of you are probably familiar with Pat. He's the guy to Aaron Rodgers left in the State Farm commercials, you know, representing State Farm because that's what he does. And if you're hearing a buzz at home, that's me. It's not the other guys. But there's always a buzz around me. So that's
your pacemaker.
It could very well be. That could be it.
So the safer you drive, the more money you save.
Well, bad news, State Farm, because Aaron doesn't know how to play it safe.
Light it up. Break the law.
Jail of Florida. Okay, Pat, that's going to be your publicity for that. It was a State Farm commercial.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Yeah, one of the many that Pat Menace was a part of.
706-0111, that's the Hardcore Equipment Hotline. And like Ken and Huck, we'd love to hear from you tonight. We've talked about, a little bit about LSU, the fact that Burroughs is great, the fact that the Tiger defense is not. Time may perhaps move on to the Cajuns, whose defense also went the other way against South Alabama. You give up 350 rushing yards? You're kidding me. You're kidding me, right?
They did a really poor job of controlling the edge. They did not the ends and the linebacker that would walk up as a fifth lineman, they got sealed in on every play and they just kept going wide on them and getting 8, 10, 12 yards a pop, you know, and they
seems
never
like
adjusted.
There's a coaching adjustment that could be made to
they,
that.
They just didn't seem either Georgia Southern was making great blocks or they just didn't adjust, you know, but that's what ended up happening there. But by the same token, I mean, their running game is just put Elijah Mitchell in and just leave him. You know, he's a stud, man. I mean, he's just really good, you know.
No, Regis and
they all did well, yeah.
Yeah, Regis and
Kalei,
you know, they didn't get the total carries that Mitchell did, but, you know, that's a three-headed monster.
Yeah, Kalei hits the hole with such speed and quickness.
And the Cajuns have been integrating a few other backs into their rotation too, and it's taken a lot of pressure off the three heads. You know?
Yeah, they don't have to carry as much, you know, because they get it done with 6 or 8 carries in a game.
And you know, one thing everybody talks about the offensive backs, which they should, but when you look at that offensive line, they do a tremendous job. They're all seasoned. They've all been together now
that's
for 3 years.
That's the key to it all, is that offensive line. Yeah. Offensive backs are great. You know, they're really good. The offensive line is what makes that train go.
You can't hit the hole if the hole ain't there.
No.
Well, and you look at some of the replays, and the holes is like, I could have run through there for 100 yards. You know, I mean, it's just like, they're wide. I mean, they're just taking people out. You know, they've always had a good running game, even when they weren't winning a lot of games. But the offense has got to do something with the passing game, I feel like. You know, I mean, as long as the running game is doing what it's doing, you don't really need it. But when you get to a point where you need it, then what? I mean, I get the impression that either Levi Lewis, and he's done a great job, you know, he's done a great job with what he's been asked to do.
There's a but in this sentence somewhere.
Exactly, because when is he going to throw the ball over the middle? When is he going to complete a pass on a crossing route?
I've seen it. I've seen that happen, and I've seen him be successful about it. What I haven't seen in his success from is anything resembling a deep pass.
No.
Anything.
Unless it's up for grabs.
He seems to have no touch on the deep pattern. You know, and I don't know the reason for that. I don't know if he's just not together with his receivers or he can't throw the deep ball.
I think it's his size.
I've seen, you know, his short passing be extremely effective.
Oh, it has. But you see what's ended up happening now, if you noticed in the Georgia Southern game, is that the defenses are playing out wider and that bubble screen is not being as effective as it has been because they're putting more guys out on the edge knowing that he's going to take the snap and throw quick to the flanker behind the line of scrimmage. And now they've got three guys blocking two or three guys tackling with two blockers rather than the other way around. So, I mean, you know, hey, look, it's just an observation.
Yeah, we've got it all figured out.
I'm not a coach.
That's why we had this show. We've got it all figured out.
We
didn't know Arkansas coach.
Who wouldn't be happy that they're 8-2 if you're a UL fan? I mean, seriously, you know. How about all the years when we said, man, if they would just win 7 or 8 games every year, we'd be happy. You know, we don't need to go to the national championship game. Well, they're 8-2 with a chance to go 10-2, and we're still finding ways, you know, to be critical of what's going on. Yeah. But hey,
that's the nature of the beast, though.
That's true. That's true.
It will never be perfect all the time.
You're right. You're right. But I have to give him a lot of credit, man. What they've done in 2 years is incredible as far as I'm concerned.
With the exception of their defensive personnel, I think, and this is no means a statement that criticizes Coach Napier and his staff, but they've done a tremendous job of taking Marquard Smith players and making them win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And my hat's off to that.
And the guys,
we're not into Billy Napier players yet, are we?
You are
on
just
defense.
To a certain extent, yeah.
On defense, you're seeing 50-50, I think.
Yeah, he brought in a lot of help on defense, and that's why they've been better on defense. Is some of the interior linemen he brought in, and they've got a lot more depth. He's playing a lot of people. Last year, you had the same four or five guys that were in there the whole game because there wasn't anybody else that could hold up
there
against who they were playing.
There was a noticeable drop-off last year,
yeah,
defensively.
Exactly.
If you had to go to your second guys. Now there's not so much of a drop-off. It's a more even mix.
Yeah, and you got a lot of different names on different series being called, making plays. You know, there's a lot of rotation in and out, a lot of fresh bodies in there. So I think he has definitely improved the talent level. It's not where it needs to be consistently a 10-win team every year, I don't think. But things have fallen into place for him this year. Hey, who knows?
Now, the other questions are going to be after the season is over and on the presumption that, you know, they do what everyone thinks they're going to do and win these two games. Even if they lose in the championship game, if they have to go to App State and things don't go well, you're still going to be looking at a 10-win team and a bowl somewhere. Yeah. And the question now will arise, will he stay or will he go?
I think it depends on where the offer's from. I think he answered that this week. I think they posed that to him in the media press conference. And he said, you know, we've got our feet planted here. And we haven't accomplished what we want to do yet. Of course, that was a nice coach speak, you know. But yeah, I don't know. You know, I think it's. Yeah, my question would be, just from an outsider looking in, are you better off taking a Mississippi State job or staying at UL and stringing together a couple of more 8, 9, 10-win seasons, and then maybe getting an offer at a better, more attractive school, more high-profile school?
But the SEC, Tom.
It's the SEC, I understand that, but how many coaches have gone through Mississippi State the last few years? They go in, and 2 years later, they're out.
Starkville, maybe. Starkville.
Yeah. Starkville is Mississippi State. Believe me, been there many times.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I don't know. He could get some assistance and get pulled away for sure. You know, if people are impressed with what they've done, you know, particularly offensively, you know, with their running game.
It could, but these are questions to be probably to be asked and speculated on toward the end of the year. And
sure.
Now.
Right now, it's just.
Right now, we're just killing time.
Let's play a game. Let's play this week. Let's play Troy. Let's play and see what happens.
What time do we have? Just out of curiosity.
About quarter till.
Well, let's do the picks.
Y'all want to do picks?
Done. Yeah, okay. Let's get that done.
All right. Let's go with the Raging Cajuns and Troy.
Unless this is a call coming in, let me get the word from Clint.
We got Blake on the line.
Thanks, Wizard. Go ahead, Blake.
What you say, fella?
Hey, Blake, how are you?
Oh, I've been waiting for y'all to get back on the air since that Alabama game.
We have too, Blake.
I don't know if y'all remember me, but I called and said, hold up there, fella. Well, only one of y'all was on board, but the other ones weren't. But, you know, I got off of work late, so I know y'all touched on it already. But how about them Tigers?
How about them Tigers? Blake.
They got it going.
How about that offense?
How about that offense, Blake? Blake, did you go away?
I think he hung up on us. He just wanted to say, how about the Tigers?
Go Tigers.
Blake, I wanted to talk about the defense. Don't want to talk about that, huh? Go Tigers. Yeah.
Let's get those picks.
Yeah, go ahead with the picks.
Let's get the picks. We've got UL and Troy. Bobby?
Oh, I have to go with the Cajuns. You want to score?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, I'd say 40-20.
40-20. Nice round score.
Huh? Yeah.
Bruce?
30-17, Cajuns.
And I'm going to go with the Cajuns 38-17. And we'll get Glenn's picks over the phone.
Glenn is not with us tonight. Glenn's bubblegum popped. He can't breathe. And
he's
taking the
picks. I'll get his picks before Saturday. Not a problem. He's probably sleeping. But all right, Don. Time to start pulling yourself out the cellar.
I'm thinking. I don't think I can. I think I'm too far in the cellar. I'm not picking Troy to get out of the cellar. But I'll pick the Cajuns,
38-35. Wow. You don't have a lot of confidence in that Cajun defense either, do you? Mm-hmm. All right.
I have plenty of confidence in that offense, but I also have some confidence that it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
How high will the scores go, LSU-Arkansas?
I don't know. That's entirely up to LSU because Arkansas is not going to have anything to say about it.
No. Yeah. Bobby?
50-12, LSU.
50-12.
I don't think anybody has to say the Tigers or LSU.
No, I think everyone's picking LSU.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm even going to give Glenn a pick on LSU, even though he's not here.
He picked them 12-0, so yeah.
Yeah, he can't. He has to have LSU.
Right.
All right, Bruce, go.
55-6.
55-6. I'm taking the Tigers 56-3. They get a field goal to stay on out the shutout column. And Don?
63-7.
63-7. You actually think Arkansas is going to score?
Did you watch LSU's defense last week and the last 2 weeks?
I guess we're having to go to. We can get the Saints maybe when we come back from this break.
Sounds like a winner to me. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. I'm Don with Bobby, Tom, and Bruce, and the Wizard Behind the Glass. We'll be back with more after this. Yes, lies, 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 yeah. Patrick Menis, former USO tennis star and currently State Farm Insurance star, will join us about 15 minutes from now. So I hope you can stay with us for that. And by the way, next week also we've got Ted Lyles, who will be on with us the night before Thanksgiving at 6 o'clock. Ted, former USO basketball star back in the mid-70s. So we're going way back. Ted's got some great stories, and hopefully can coax some of them out.
He was on those first teams after the probation.
Yeah, one of the original signees
that
came in a year before they could even play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to talk about. Yeah. How do you practice with six guys?
That's a leap of faith, huh? We really, really are going to have a program. Come on over.
We want you to play. You just can't play this year. But we'll talk with Ted, and that'll be next week at 6 o'clock. Okay, the Saints are playing
Carolina.
Carolina's kind of tanked it the last couple of weeks. Kyle Allen, who is the quarterback who's taken over from Cam Stewart, has had a couple of rough games the last couple of times out. And I'm sure people are thinking, do the Saints. Now, we've got a caller, so let's get through these Saints picks real quick.
Yeah, we got him a doc, and he wants to kind of continue the conversation about the Tigers' defense.
Okay, never mind, Wizard, about the Saints then. Go ahead, Doc. What do you got?
It seemed pretty easy to get you off that topic there.
Boy, well, Wizard doesn't listen to everything we say. In fact, he doesn't listen to us at all.
His headsets have no volume.
I was curious to see. So the defense, from my standpoint, I'm not watching constantly, but I remember when Patrick Peterson played. And, he was kind of on an island like Stingley's been, and he got burned by Julio a couple of times. But I think from that standpoint in offense, I kind of like the way the defense is doing that. But I think the issue here is more going back to Delpit, Stevens, and Chaseau. I can't understand or fathom for why Chaseau continuously goes for the RPOs, that guy that the first running back. He did it against Nick Fitzgerald all those years ago when he was a freshman, and that's why they killed us. He just doesn't seem to contain that side and just hold. And then, my issue with Delpit would be is if he has been hurt, what the hell is he doing playing, against these teams where we should be playing? Save him. Get him better. And so if he is hurt, what kind of coach is going to let him play and play like he's been doing, which is only hurting his future from my standpoint? And I have been just disappointed with Stevens' play. He just seems like he doesn't belong in free safety.
You bring up three good points there. Now, the first one, when you talked about it, are you sure that's not a coaching decision?
It could be his assignment.
To chase him?
Yeah.
That could be his assignment on the run pass option. He could have the lead back, and that's why he's going
to. Well, but he's got the lead back. But then if he's got the lead back, then wouldn't there be another person outside that's supposed to get in there?
Yeah.
But on most of those runs, there's been nobody else out there.
Yes.
So that would be more
schematic.
I guess that's yeah. So is that? I mean, so then that brings a difficult question. Is that really Aranda?
That would have to be.
If we consider Aranda to be this defensive guy that we're paying $1 million+, you think that with the Mississippi State game a couple of years ago, that this should have, he could have, you know, at least discussed this and fixed it?
I don't think everybody considers Aranda the demigod.
That they do.
Yeah, I think, in fact, that's become less and less a common thread. You know, this defense has given up between Alabama and Ole Miss. Now, one very, very good, the other not very good at all. They've given up almost 1,200 yards, Doc, in these two games.
I know. I mean, it's worrisome. And
well, it's worrisome.
And, but, you know, you go back to even, you remember the Texas Tech game. You know, they had a great season. They go play Texas Tech. And, you know, yeah, the offense outscored Texas Tech, but they it's...
Texas Tech or Texas A&M?
No, I'm talking that bowl game when Mahomes, and they put up like 400 or 500 yards in that game.
Okay.
And that was, Aranda was there too. And, I mean, I think that was Aranda's first or second year. They had a pretty good defense. But I, you know, and my issue then goes back is so, I mean, he can plan because they planned for the triple option earlier this year, and that worked pretty darn good. So where is these? I mean, why can't we seem to adjust or at least make in-game decisions?
Well, I think he's put some huge bodies in the middle of that defensive line, and he's basically taken away any kind of an inside running game. So you have to then be aware of what's going to happen on the edge, like you're talking about there, because they're just too big to get around on the inside. It's not that they're necessarily making great plays or busting through and making sacks, but he's got some huge bodies there that are clogging up the middle. And so that defense is designed to stop the edge, but yet they're not doing it. And you're exactly right.
I mean, so shouldn't Chaseon be able to – I mean, because it seems like on the run pass option, if Chaseon's job is to get that first guy, well, I mean – don't you have all the bodies in the middle to do that? So, I mean, I don't understand why you can't seem to just say, look, stay out here. Protect this side. I don't know.
Well, that's usually going to be
frustrating. I mean, we're nitpicking on a 10-0 team.
Yeah.
I think shame on me for even bringing that
up. As long as they're scoring 55 or 60 points, it don't matter what they do on defense.
Yeah.
It's kind of like saying, well, as long as we score more than the other team, we're good, right?
Yeah, as long as they score first so they never get behind, they're in good
Your
shape.
Your best defense is keeping Burrow on the field on offense.
Yeah, definitely,
I agree. Well, I needed a vent, so I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Appreciate the call.
I like the service.
Those difficult Saints talks are decisions, so appreciate it.
Yeah, the hell with the
Thanks
Saints.
For the call. We appreciate it.
The other thing. Thank you, Doc. 706-0111. Pat Menace joins us, after this break?
Yep.
Of course, it's a long break, so Pat Menace will be with us from Arizona. And I'll tell you what.
Go Tigers.
We'll do the Saints when sometime in the next hour.
Yeah,
you said, it's real easy to get off the topic. So we've got Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. Pat's going to join us from Arizona. We'll be back after this.
Live and local, this is Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Welcome back, everybody, to our Wednesday free-for-all. Glenn Quibido's not with us tonight. Glenn's got sparring with a bout of laryngitis, which means he can't talk. Ordinarily, that would be cause for celebration here. But since it's on, I'm just teasing. We miss Glenn, especially since I found it ironic that Glenn is the man who set up our guest this evening, and then he doesn't even show up to talk to him. You know, what's up with that?
He'll probably call in now and let you know about it.
No, I don't want to hear that. I don't need it. We don't need to hear that. Just, you know, rest, relax, come back for next week. So we've got Bobby Ardwin, Bruce Brown, Tom Brown. I'm Don Allen, the wizard behind the glass, of course. And our special guest this evening, former USL tennis star back in the late 80s, early 90s, is Patrick Menes. A lot of you may remember Pat from also being a sports anchor for, I think it was Channel 3, wasn't it? KATC. But most of you would now be more familiar with the fact that he's the guy standing to the left of Aaron Rodgers in all of the State Farm commercials. Pat joins us from, I guess, his home in Arizona. Pat, how are you?
Hey, Don, how are you? Good to hear from you. It's been a long time.
It's been a moment, yeah. It's been a minute. So I guess the very obvious question before we get into the real stuff is, how is it you ended up next to Aaron Rodgers?
It was total, complete luck. State Farm puts agents in all their commercials, except for the NBA commercial, but the rest of them, it's State Farm agents. And I got a call one day, and they asked me, it was the marketing department, they asked if I wanted to audition for some commercials. And I was like, sure, why not? And they said, it probably won't be anytime soon, but we'll keep your name, and maybe you'll be in a commercial in the future. So I auditioned by FaceTime. And the next day, the lady calls and she goes, you got the gig. And I was like, the gig for what? And she said, you'll be Aaron Rodgers' agent in the next commercial. And then I went back and looked at the script that I was reading, and I wasn't really paying attention. And I was talking about Aaron. And I was like, oh. And then so they said, but we need you to fly out to Hollywood in 3 days to shoot the commercials. Can you do that? I was like, heck yeah, I can do that. So I flew out, and that was last year in July, and we shot around 10 or 12 commercials. And then you're only supposed to be able to do it once, and it has nothing to do with me. It was just the concept of the commercial. I guess it did so well that they wanted to do it again this year. So total luck. I'd like to say I'm great, but that's not it. It was complete luck.
Luck is good.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. So you've been on with Rodgers. You've been on with Pat Mahomes, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's still, every time I see him, I'm thinking, who is this 14-year-old playing in the NFL?
Yeah, he's very young. Yeah. When I was shooting, we talked about how young he was because I think he's 21 or 22. I can't remember exactly, but he can play, obviously. He's a really good, and he was a really nice guy, too. Down to earth and just simple, nice kid.
Okay, so you're a State Farm agent. That's what you do full time. That's how you earn your living, right?
Yeah. I live in Gilbert, Arizona, but my agency is in Tempe, Arizona.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm very close to ASU's campus. As a matter of fact, I'm going to see the Cajuns. They're coming out on December 7th to play ASU, so the whole family's going to the game.
Outstanding. Do you still play tennis?
I have not played tennis in, 5 years or so. With three kids, it's hard to do anything because they're playing baseball, soccer, and doing dance. But, yeah, I haven't played in a while.
Well, if you haven't played tennis, I figure there's not a whole heck of a lot of time for golf either.
No, but this is a golf mecca out here.
No kidding. You live in Arizona, and you're not playing golf.
Yeah, it's crazy how many, especially this time of year, all the people come to Arizona just because the weather's perfect and so many golf courses. And ASU, obviously, they have so much, and obviously. But then I think the guy's name is John Rahm, I think. He went to ASU. And he's one of the top players in the world. So, yeah, I'll just huge out here.
Well, Pat, how'd you land in Arizona? Is that where you're originally from?
No, I'm from Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, I was working in North Carolina. I was doing pharmaceutical sales, and I wanted to be my own boss. And with State Farm, we're all independent contractors.
So there was an opportunity out here in 2009. So we moved the whole family out here, and 10 years later, I'm still doing it. It's a great gig. State Farm's a great company. And I've always liked Arizona because the weather's perfect. They complain about the heat, but don't get me wrong, 115 is 115. But there's absolutely no humidity.
Yeah.
And I laugh all the time because I'm like, this is nothing.
No, you're
there's
right.
There's no bugs.
You're right. You're right. If they want to be, if they want to experience discomfort, send them down here for a week in August.
Exactly, yeah. So it's a good place to live. And it's funny because my son plays baseball, and his baseball coach, and Don, I'm sure you remember, Terry Berry was playing baseball for the Cajuns.
Yeah.
He is his baseball coach.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, so we moved all the way out here, and we were in school at the same time, but we didn't know each other. And move all the way out here, and my son signed us up for baseball, and his coach is a raging Cajun.
Tough to get away from him sometimes, isn't it?
So what happened with the sportscasting? That just wasn't what you wanted to continue doing?
No, I enjoyed it. It's just
no, he wanted to make some, he wanted to make some money.
Well, I wanted him to say that.
that too. But with the family, it's hard because, like I mentioned, my kids are doing all kinds of stuff, and I've never missed one of their events. But as a sportscaster, you're working nights and weekends, and there's just no family time. And when I was in North Carolina, I was doing freelance stuff, which is cool because, you know, I'm not committed to it. But just the daily grind of the local news, you have to be there all the time. So it's more of a quality of life thing, even though it's a great gig, especially if you're single. I remember I never even had an alarm clock when I was, because you didn't go to work until 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
Know all about it.
Do you remember
that routine down? Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the trips that you made with USL at the time?
Oh yeah, well, I remember going to. Well, actually, it's funny. We came out here. Gary Baldwin. I don't know if it was his first year or second year. We came out here for Arizona State, but I remember going to Oklahoma State. I remember that debacle, which I don't know if many people know, but we were supposed to fly out on Friday, like 6 o'clock, and something happened. And the team didn't leave until 3 o'clock in the morning to play Oklahoma State.
Yeah, we rolled in there about 5 o'clock.
Yeah, you guys remember.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah,
that's crazy. So, but, no, I remember those were fun times. I tell you what, you guys live, the nicest people in the world are in Lafayette, Louisiana, and Acadiana. Just nice.
They
down to earth people.
They are until they get behind the wheel of a car. They are.
Well, and you said you don't play much tennis anymore, but I mean, you were a college tennis player. Did you just kind of get the burnout, or was it mostly the family thing?
No, I mean, I played college tennis, obviously, for the Cajuns. And in the summer, we would go and play pro events, kind of like it would be the equivalent of the Nike Golf Tour.
Right.
It was. You know, but I honestly wasn't good enough. I mean, that's one thing about tennis. That is, tennis is great because you know where you stand. Whereas in baseball or basketball, you can always blame your situation or the coach. But in tennis, it's like, if you're ranked 100 and, you know, 90 in the world, that's really good. But if you're ranked 800 in the world, you're like, well, I'm not going to make it. And there's nobody to blame but yourself. So there's no – I tell my friends who play baseball stinks because there's always a chance. You're in single A, double A, triple A. There's always a chance. Maybe I can make it. And whereas in tennis, it's like I'm just not good enough. So you move on.
Yeah, tennis is a lot like track and field too in that sense, in that you're – it's the individual performance that really more or less dominates how good you are. Even though you're part of a team and you're playing for the team score, you still have to individually win your event in track like you have to individually win your match in tennis. So I can understand exactly what you're saying there. But, you know, I'm sure that your years at UL, though, you know, I'm sure you enjoyed those road trips in the van, huh?
Yeah, I try to tell my kids how lucky they are because we had no internet, no Netflix. You just sit in the car. The cool thing about it was you got to know your teammates extremely well because you had nothing to do but talk. I kind of feel bad for the kids now because they don't talk to each other because they're on their phones all the time. But it definitely makes those 13-hour bus rides a lot easier nowadays, crazy. I'm sure.
We're talking with Patrick Menace. He's with us from his home in Arizona. Pat is a former USL tennis player, also a former anchor for KATC-TV in sports, and as a State Farm agent, as he told the story, was fortunate enough to be able to hook up with State Farm commercials, where he is now Aaron Rodgers' right-hand man. Bruce, I know you've got some stuff you want to ask.
Yeah, Patrick. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Bruce.
Been a while,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Yeah, man.
Looking back, how did you end up in UL? Was it because Tony was here?
Yes, it was. Coach Albertine was the coach then.
Yeah.
And Tony was there. And they had a really good team then. Obviously, I know Brett Garnett and Ashley Roney got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I was the only new player they had that year. So I was here basically. Coach Albertine gave me a shot, and Tony was here, and I enjoyed my time at USL.
You grew up in a tennis family, didn't you?
Yeah, my dad played tennis. He taught us how to play tennis. He was a professor at Southern University. And my twin sister played at LSU, and obviously Tony. And then Tony went on to coach at LSU.
Yeah. Tony's in media now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's doing a lot of stuff. He's doing stuff on the Tennis Channel. He also just started a business where he's doing mental toughness training. He's actually, last week, he was in Missouri, University of Missouri, doing mental toughness training. Because coaching for 21 years, especially, and I can say this because I have two girls, but coaching girls is hard, especially for guys. But he did it for 21 years, so he knows how to communicate because it's different. And it's not saying one is right or one is wrong, but it's just different communicating with 18-year-old girls as opposed to 18-year-old boys.
Yeah.
It's a different way you have to go about it.
Speaking of coaching, how were Albertine and Eric Oskarski different? You played for Oskarski after Albertine.
Oh, they were Coach Albertine, much more intense than Coach Oskarski, and much more demanding than Coach Oskarski. Coach Oskarski would be what you would call a player's coach. And Coach Albertine was just – and Coach Albertine, obviously, was very successful. I mean, I remember I think we finished 13 in the country, and Ashley and Brett were number one in the country.
Yeah.
They both were great coaches. I enjoyed playing for Coach Albertine. He was only there for a year. Then Coach Oskarski was there for the rest of my time.
Right.
And he was a really good player, Oskarski. I don't know if people realize this, but when John McEnroe won the NCAA championship – he beat Coach Oskarski in the semifinals in three sets.
Wow.
So, yeah, exactly. And Coach Oskarski also won the NCAA doubles championship.
He was a Trinity.
Really, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I remember you used to do great stories on tennis. We really enjoyed that, and we're grateful that you would come out.
We enjoyed it. I got to ask this. Aaron Rodgers, what kind of a guy is he to work with?
He was a really good guy. He was a really nice guy. He's very confident. He's obviously one of the best quarterbacks ever. But he couldn't have been nicer. And because it was funny, because he said to me, I said, my son's a big fan. Could you sign something for him? And he said, yeah, just have your people talk to my people. And I was like, dude, I don't have
people. I don't have people.
State Farm agent. I was like, could you just figure something out? But he signed all kinds of stuff for my son. And then when I went back this year, it was kind of cool because obviously, we worked together last year and we just picked up where we left off. But he's a really nice guy and was easy to work with.
Pat, we need to take a commercial break, if that's okay. We'll come back to you in just
sure,
a moment.
Sure, yeah.
All right, just hang on.
Yeah, no problem at all.
We're going to pay the bills. Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. Pat Menace is with us tonight via phone. We'll be back with more after this.
Now, back to Five Guys, Stories, and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
You can't.
Okay, we're back. Tom, during the break, was talking with Glenn Quibito, who's not with us tonight. Attack of laryngitis, or...
But he's listening.
But he's listening.
He's listening. He's listening to everything you say, Don.
That's good. You know, Glenn, if you're able to sit up and listen to us for 2 hours, you could have probably been here for 2 hours, too. You know?
Oh, anyway, let me put my phone on silent. It's going to start ringing again.
Anyway, Patrick Menace is with us tonight from his home in Arizona. We've talked about a few things. His State Farm commercials with Aaron Rodgers. In fact, he doesn't play tennis anymore. And he doesn't play, and he doesn't play golf. That's what gets me.
It's but called having kids.
I understand.
It's called having three kids.
I went through that. I went through that a long time ago. But being a terrible father, I play golf anyway. We haven't talked a lot about some of the trips we made. Do you remember when, and I think it was the Washington State game, but we stayed in Idaho?
Do you remember that? I remember that.
Do you remember
and
that
the plane? Yeah, we had an issue with the plane, if I remember correctly.
No, we always had issues with planes back in those days.
But I want to say we had to stop because it was too, the runway was too short. I can't, it was something to that effect.
Probably.
Yeah, I remember that.
Inspires confidence, doesn't it?
Didn't you have an issue at dinner or something, too, you know, with eating out?
Not a whole, lot of brothers in Idaho, were there, Pat?
Not at all. It's funny you say that because I remember I was in, we were at the stadium, and this kid, it was like he had never seen anybody that wasn't Caucasian before. And he starts asking me about soul food and all this stuff, and I was like, what are you talking about? But I remember going out. What I remember most about those trips is that Mr. Troha was very good at picking up the bill.
Yep.
He was such a generous man.
Yeah, yeah. But those are
I remember
Chrysler.
Oh, those are great times.
Yeah, but I remember that. The Cajuns played a lot. I remember going to Tennessee when they played the Volunteers, and then obviously Texas when they played over there. It was interesting because back then, Stokely, for a while, obviously, you guys remember, they weren't very good.
No, it was a lot to a little. It was a lot to a little in most every game we went to like that.
Yeah.
They were money games. They were money games.
They were money games, and they paid the price, too, injuries and that kind of stuff. But I do remember, I mean, Brian Mitchell and those guys could play. And Chris Gannon, and, I mean, they were – has some really good athletes on the team.
Yes, yes.
It's not enough of them.
No.
I do remember basketball. I tell people all the time, and you guys may agree or disagree, but Michael Allen was by far one of the best players I've ever seen.
He is one of my all-time favorites, and you know what? He's overlooked by most UL fans because they think back to Bo Lamar and Andrew Toney, you know, two just great, great guards. But Michael Allen could do so many things, and he was absolutely the best long-range shooter and the best shooter, period, I can remember of anybody wearing a UL or USO.
Yeah, he could shoot the basketball, no question about that.
He was money.
Yes.
Hey, you said earlier that your son plays baseball, and your daughters, do you have them involved in tennis? I was just kind of curious. You know, did they pick up on that?
My youngest daughter played tennis a little bit, but not much. My oldest daughter plays soccer. My youngest daughter dances, which if anybody out there is listening and they have young girls, do not let them dance. It is so expensive. It's ridiculous. Just throwing money out the window. And my son plays baseball. And obviously baseball out here, it's year-round. They play, if you want to, you can play every weekend.
But I just find that kind of unusual. I just find that kind of unusual, and not critical or anything, but you come from a tennis family, but yet your kids never really picked up on that, huh? They never really had the burn.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's funny, though. If you pay attention to any tennis players, and I loved tennis when I played, but nobody's kids. If you played tennis, you cannot name one pro player whose dad or mom played tennis.
That's true.
Andre Agassi and Stephanie Graf's kid is a baseball player in Las Vegas. he's going to UCLA next year.
Wow.
They just don't, because, and people laugh, but tennis is a grind. You have to be in the physical shape of a long-distance runner and as mentally tough as any golfer or boxer out there. And you're by yourself. There's no team to go practice. I have so much respect for those guys because Roger Federer, there's nobody making him practice. Hmm. He has to get up and go practice. There's no coach saying, hey, be in the lobby at 9 o'clock. We're going to go practice for 2 hours. Everything's on your own, and it's a grind. It wears you out. Most guys, you know, Federer's still playing, but back when I was playing, especially because it was year-round and every day, the guys would quit when they were like 24. So it's a great sport, and it's a sport you can play for the rest of your life, but just the intensity of it burns you out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I got to ask you this. Have you made a play for Aaron Rodgers' insurance business?
No, actually, I have not. But I can't.
Come on, man. You got to.
Insurance has to be in your state, and he lives in Wisconsin. So he has to have his insurance with a Wisconsin agent.
Does he bring his girlfriend to the commercial shoots?
Well, no, but she, you know, that's a good point. I should make a play for her insurance.
Yeah.
She lives in Scottsdale.
Oh, does she? Danica Patrick?
Yeah. She lives in Scottsdale, so he says he's here every once in a while visiting her.
There you go.
Yeah.
Drumming up new business for State Farm.
Keep in mind, we're talking about making a play for insurance policies.
Yes, exactly.
Okay? Don't anybody get confused about that.
Patrick, this is Bobby Ardwin.
Bobby, how are you?
Okay, dude. How long do you think the Aaron Rodgers State Farm commercials will be going on? I mean, do you see them being phased out, or have y'all set some type of window when you say this is over with, or what? What are kind of the plans for the commercials?
That's a good question. I don't know. I know they have Aaron Rodgers wrapped up in a contract. No such contract for me. But if we continue,
you need to have you need to have his people talk to your people.
Yeah. I think if they were to continue the concept now with the other agent, they may bring me back. But they probably want to give a shot to another State Farm agent because, like I said, I lucked out. As far as I know, I'm the only agent that got to do it twice because it's usually a one-shot deal. But I totally lucked out and got to do it a second time.
Well, you should propose that they start a series with you against Mayhem from the competition. Mayhem guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah. Allstate.
Patrick, it's been fun. Can't thank you enough for joining us tonight.
No, it's great to hear all your voices and tell everyone I said hi.
We will.
Best of luck to you.
We can do it again sometime. Indeed. Best of luck.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Best of luck with the dance lessons, too. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Our guest tonight was Patrick Minnis, former UL tennis player, USL tennis player, KATC sports journalist, and also State Farm commercials. We'll be back.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Well, I'm listening to the music over here. Okay, I'm happy. Saints, Carolina.
Saints.
Let's get this done.
Saints.
Get this over with.
Saints, 34-24. Glenn goes Saints, 24-17. Bobby?
I'm thinking it's a little bit closer. I'm going 26-23 Saints.
How do you come up with these numbers? Missed extra points, safeties, what, you know?
Anything's possible with the Saints, Tom.
Bruce?
27-20. Saints.
Now, why don't you criticize all of them for taking New Orleans? Every time I pick New Orleans, you're telling me that like I just pick New Orleans.
You do.
Well, I'm 8-2 by picking them.
You do.
Whereas you are 1-8 or 1-9.
I'm going to go for 1-10. Give me Carolina.
Oh, my boy, huh?
Just to be contrary.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I can't catch up if I keep picking what everybody else picks.
Can't catch up anyway.
No, I know. 20-19.
20-19. That's an NFL score for you, huh?
Yeah.
The kamikaze
six
mentality.
Field goals,
two safeties.
Six field goals and half a safety.
I missed extra point.
And what's the big deal? I'm looking up at the board here because Raymond, RP3, his morning show, RP3 and Company, puts his guest schedule up here. And I don't know if that's for him to remind himself or whether he'd like a little exposure on it. We'll expose all you like. Let's see. Tomorrow he's got Wally Hall, Dave Ryan, Les East, and Tyler Nunez.
Les East is a longtime media member in New Orleans area.
Okay.
Wrote for the Picayune and an Advocate for years and years.
Les, I think, has been a beat writer for just about every college team in the southern part of the state. But he does a great job, and he's fun to work with.
Yeah.
Friday, he's got Brian. Can you read that last name?
Bienemy?
It's Brian Bienemy.
He missed the I.
He neglected the I there. He's a regular guest talking Saints.
Mike Dettelier. And then Eric Narcisse with the Daily Advertiser. We'll join him late Friday. Eric had some problems covering volleyball, did he?
Don, I'm not sure. I just...
Oh, y'all are sure? Y'all
no,
just afraid
we're not.
To say anything.
Well,
no,
we've been given the story.
Yeah, covered from the grandstand.
We can't authenticate the rumors, you know?
Your sources told you otherwise.
My sources?
Or your source, whatever.
My whistleblower?
Yeah, your whistleblower.
Okay, yeah.
Wizard, make sure that R asks about that. Tomorrow with Narcisse.
I'm going to make sure he does that, talks about it on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, the story, in case you people are wondering, is the story is that the Advertiser was basically shut out of press passes for the volleyball tournament because the LHSAA didn't agree with some of their opinions in past articles.
And so, you can't do that.
No, I know. You know,
you cannot do that.
You know, and it's just not right. You know, so they covered it from the grandstands. That's the story that we're given now.
Well, I mean, and I was telling you guys during the break, at the top 28 this year, I did everything correctly with my credential requests. And when I get to the door to get my pass to go into the basketball arena, and it was like I was from the Ukraine. I mean, you know, they...
Well, you actually had to submit a picture with your request this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, once they see me, they won't want to.
You know, maybe we should be careful about what we say about the LHSA because, let's face it, state tournaments, championship games are coming up. You're going to have to get credentials.
Why should we be careful? What are they going to do to us?
If you're covering it, like if Notre Dame... wherever it is, the LHSA is going to be in charge of it, right?
Right.
Therefore, they will have to issue you a credential for being with the radio broadcast.
Well, I'll just do like one of the other local people and just sit in the stands with my cell phone and do the game on my cell phone.
Yeah. Mr. Bitter doesn't do that anymore. But he did.
Well, I won't have to worry about passes this year for two reasons. One... no St. Landry Parish team is even close to get into the Superdome.
What about Opelousas Catholic?
No, they won't
but
be at
they're
home, but
they're a select team, so yeah. They'll play either at home or at some neutral site if they get to the state championship game.
Well, they're the 2 seed. They may very well.
They have a very good chance of getting there. Very good. It could very well end up between them and Vermilion Catholic for the championship. Wouldn't that be a great game?
Well, as we were talking about during the break, Vermilion Catholic has to go through probably, if they win this weekend, they have to go through Calvary Baptist or Ouachita Christian, which are two excellent teams.
Yeah, VC is your number one seed.
Right.
They've got to go through VC.
Yeah, it's their number one for a reason.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, and even though they haven't had Drew Leche, their quarterback for the last 2 weeks because of an ankle, there was a fracture, by the way, in the ankle.
Oh, really?
Yes, small fracture, but in fact, his dad was on at halftime last week for our broadcast. But I think they're expecting him.
Wow.
Hoping that he will go this week.
Yeah, well, I saw some footage of him walking around on the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, yeah, he wasn't dressed, but he didn't look like he was hampered.
They have gone in the last 2 weeks from a passing team to a running team.
And been very successful.
Can do that in Class A.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they're going to be facing a different animal this week, a team that has they go win, loss, one loss, win, loss, the entire season. I've never seen any record like that, but they're 5-5.
Seesaw.
Yeah, through the regular season, Country Day. They've got a kid who signed or committed to Tulane.
Ibieta, right? Quarterback, Ibieta. He's been the quarterback for a couple, 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, Notre Dame played him 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's going to be leading the charge for Country Day.
He's a
Country
big kid.
Day at Metairie Park
is
the proper school name for
it. Metairie Park.
No, it's Metairie Park Country Day.
Yeah.
Metairie Park Country Day.
Yeah.
So, we're gonna have the game on 106.3 Radio Lafayette here as a part of the Delta family. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to doing that game. What else do we have? Wizard? You probably didn't.
We got some number one seeds. LCA's number one seed in Division III.
No, yeah. I'm wondering who else we have on the radio.
Of course we got him. STM and Evangel, probably one of the most marquee matchups in the state. That'll be right here on 103.7 The Game. And then we got Carrickrow's next round matchup up against Northwood Shreveport. That'll be on Z105.9. And a little heads up for those who didn't see this, but Kaplan Sterlington, which is going to be on the Rewind, 97.7 FM and 1330 AM, that got moved up to tomorrow night at 6:30. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if you want to listen in.
How come?
Because apparently there's going to be some bad weather hitting North Louisiana, or as I'm going to put it, Arkansas South, which is pretty much where Sterlington is, let's be honest. So basically you have that bad weather going to be coming in potentially on Friday, so they moved it up to avoid any issues. I think that's a smart thing to do.
It's bad enough you have to drive to Sterlington. Now you have to do it on a Thursday.
Yeah, and you were talking about RP3 earlier. He's going to be on the call for that action, so he'll be making the trek up to Sterlington.
Three will be thinking about you on the road.
Oh, I'm almost certain you'll be thinking a lot more than that.
Well, Clint, do you have any more games that you know of from teams in this area that are going to be pushed up until Thursday night?
I have not seen anything else outside of that one game.
No, I didn't realize that.
When is that Friday weather supposed to hit?
Good Friday.
Clint?
I'm not a meteorologist. Friday.
I know
Friday.
That.
I'm here in late Friday night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Overnight.
Friday and evening and Saturday morning is when they're calling for thunderstorms and rain in this area.
It can start at 10 o'clock Friday night once we're through with our games.
Oh, it probably won't wait. You know how that
goes. We can hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. Anyway, yeah, we can talk high school stuff as soon as Tom gets off the phone.
Well, I'm looking for the rain chances. Y'all wanted to know.
I know what it is.
They're showing 40-50% here starting at about 5 o'clock Friday.
Perfect.
What I saw was like 75-80% for Friday night.
Yeah, well, that's different meteorologists. Different, you know. Same guys that said the hurricane was hitting Lafayette. You know, so.
I don't watch those meteorologists anymore.
They don't have to be accountable.
The LHSAA has got to do something about this split playoffs. We were talking about that. The first round games are absolutely horrible. In all divisions. It's just, you're stretching yourself too thin by making them.
I don't know, the 5A public had some upsets sitting there. You know, they really did. Now, you had all 32 teams,
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, but when you get down to like 20, 15, 11, and then you look at some of the scores, it's like Evangel racks up 84 against whomever they played.
Acadiana scores 78 in a first-round game against Benton, who is usually a pretty good team.
Sweet by 50.
Yeah. Well, you look at the select, you got five New Orleans teams in the final eight of the select, Division One.
Which means that they probably go tag Gormley for the title game, right?
I would think so. Either they are.
Or maybe Tulane.
Yeah, Tulane. I mean.
No, that's right. It's select.
Wait, if you're talking select and select, you said Division One?
Yeah, Division One. That's the 5A division.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah, no, that is. For the most part, it'll either be in Baton Rouge or in New Orleans, because that's mainly where a lot of those Division One programs are. Division Two, Division Three, and Division Four is going to be the ones that you're going to have to keep an eye on, especially when it comes to a potential kind of having a triple header of sorts for those state titles. Potentially, of course, because you're waiting to see what happens with Don Allen's games, and that is VC, LCA, and then STM in Division Two.
No, yeah. Look at
Bobby doing a mic drop on us.
Yeah, it would be Bobby. I don't know what he's doing.
The plan, should the teams win through, is that the STM game, the LCA game, which could possibly be against Notre Dame, and the Vermilion Catholic game, or Opelousas Catholic for that matter, whichever one maybe happens to get through, would be at Cajun Field. It is the weekend of the Sun Belt.
Yeah, it's dependent on what UL does.
So it depends on what happens with App State the rest of the year.
It feels like that's a virtual lock, though, because they've got Troy the last week of the season. They got Texas State, who are they're going to roll over them. Yeah. So it feels like, to me, everything's going to be locked down.
I think they can go ahead and make
plans
for that, because they're not going to be – it's not going to be
Of course,
be
you need you need the other things to happen,
right,
and we'll wind up seeing that. Is the semifinals for the select schools, that's going to be next week on Black Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, exactly. And they'll play their championship a week ahead, because they don't even have enough schools to fill out a 14-week playoff bracket. You know, it's like, for instance, in Division III, which is where Notre Dame is, they only had five teams on bye last week. They only played three games in the first round.
Yeah, it was weird.
Because the lower-end teams just decided not to play. You know, they've got one or two wins on the year. Cost them too much money to travel.
Yeah, they can opt out.
They're just not going to play.
They can opt out.
Division IV was the outlier, though. Wound up having all their games play last Friday, right?
Division IV, yes. Yeah. Division IV, they filled their bracket and they all played. Yeah.
You can spend like $4,000 for a bus.
Yeah.
How many schools can just come up with $4,000 for a bus?
Unless the first name starts with Saint, not very many.
Yeah.
We need to take a break. It's Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. And I think we got a little bit more about high school to talk about. And I'm with you, Tom. LHSAA's got to do something.
Yeah.
They've put this off for too many years. We'll be back after this.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect. Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys, Stories, and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
We have about 10 minutes of this evening's program left. Bobby Hardwick, Tom Brown, Bruce Brown, I'm Don Allen, the wizard behind the screen. Glenn Quibido is not with us tonight. Glenn's a little bit under the weather, but we expect him back next week when Ted Lyles, former USL basketball player back in the mid-70s, who was part of the first crew ever recruited following the death penalty years. And Ted's got some stories.
Don't you think that year or two that they were practicing without having a team would make a great documentary?
I think it was just one year.
One year?
I think so.
But wouldn't that make a great documentary?
It would. It would.
Suppose.
Why don't you put
somebody else, and I forget his name, tried to put together a documentary about Shipley's years and back in the glory days, and that never transpired. You know, there was a lot of talk. There was apparently a lot of filming.
Yeah.
But I think there was difficulty in getting getting the footage back from there. That just never transpired. Now, is the idea there for a documentary? Sure it is. Yeah, yeah, it would be interesting. You know, how do you recruit six guys and say, look, we really want y'all to play, but you're not going to play this year. You know, because we don't have a team. We're not going to have a team next year. If you look back on it, that was one of the great coaching jobs ever at this university for Jim Hatfield and his bunch. They won like 7 games the first year.
Yeah, 7-19.
7-19. They won the league championship the next year.
Yeah. And at Arkansas State.
And won 20 games.
Calvin Cruz, Myron Wilkins. Remember those two big guys?
I'll tell you why they won the next year.
2'6'9", 6'10 guys?
Number 24. That's why they won the next year. Andrew was there the next year.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt.
Gave them immediate respectability. Do you remember Ben Stewart?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Guy could score.
Yeah, he could.
Guy had a serious afro going for back then, but the guy could score, and that was back on that team that, you know, it was surprisingly good for what they had.
Yeah, I told you that Hatfield was a good choice and was going to go someplace with it once he got more talent in there.
Yes,
yeah, because what he did with what he had was
phenomenal.
Good. You know,
it was phenomenal. He wins 20 games the second year back.
Yeah,
and goes to Kentucky.
Ted's probably got
no. He went to Mississippi State.
Went to Mississippi State first, after here. Yeah,
and I don't know if he coached Butch Pierre or not, but I think maybe one year he was Butch's coach. I remember, you know, that's how long I've been around. I saw Butch Pierre play college basketball.
I've seen him. They still, you know, they still have a reunion from time to time, and usually once a year. And he'll come back. I see him come back for it. You know, Coach Hatfield will be there. Coach Pascal's always around. He was at a game a couple of weekends ago. You know, a lot of those guys. I see a lot of the older players. Alonzo Allen was in the stands.
Oh, I saw Alonzo the other day at the store. Oh, yeah.
He still lives here. You know, it's good to see those guys, man, and remember a lot of that stuff that happened with them on the floor. You know, and then now you've got Kobe Julian playing, who's Wayne Julian's son.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him the other day, I said, Kobe, you even walk like your dad. And somebody heard me say that, and they went, boy, you're right, huh? Because he looks just like his dad when he walks, man. You know, he's a talented kid, you know.
Yeah.
But his dad's at the game. He's also got two daughters. They come to the game and follow Kobe. It's good to see all those guys, man, bring back a lot of memories from those years.
And
you know?
We should also mention one more time, Ted Lyles will be with us on the show next week. And we're going to have Eric Mouton.
Yeah,
in the weeks
talk to
come.
Eric, and we'll get Eric on in the future week.
Yeah,
we can line it up
because Eric's got some stories too. It's just a matter of getting these guys to tell. And I keep telling. I told Ted, and I told who do we have on? Ken Myers, remember that? And Popo, you know, we're past the point where you have to keep anything secret anymore.
Statute of limitations are out.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Statute of limitations are over.
You're past your years. You can say whatever you want. What the heck? Nobody's gonna say anything.
One of the things I'm going to bring up with Ted, and I know what he's going to say. He says, I don't remember that. Ted, it did happen. We're playing against Lamar in Beaumont, and we're playing in their gym.
The Cracker Box Gym, yeah.
Wasn't it McDonald's Gym? Was that what it was called?
Yeah,
Cracker Box Gym. And as it was the norm, they're getting the crap beat out of them by Lamar, you know? That may have been back in the day when they had Mike Oliver, B.B. Davis, you know.
Yeah, young Mike
crew.
Oliver at that point, yeah.
That
yeah.
crew. And getting that whack. And first half comes to an end, and the dressing rooms are behind the scorer's bench across the width of the basketball court, and first half comes to an end, and Ted goes and jumps over the score right where the Lamar scorekeepers are, puts his foot in the table and jumps over it on his way, comes back out, and they've hit him with the technical foul for it. As they should have, okay? As they should have.
And the rationale for that was?
I don't know. We're going to ask Ted about that next week. And Ted's going to say, I don't remember that. I remember
those
that.
Lamar games something else, man. Yeah, those games against Lamar was
Clarence
something
Key
else.
And B.B.
And Ted was right in the middle of them. Yeah. You know, so looking forward to that. Anyway, Ted Lyles will join us on the show next week. He'll be with us, by the way, starting at 6 o'clock. So you might want to join us early if you get a chance. It's the day, night before Thanksgiving, and that's going to be our treat to you. We're out of time for this evening. Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Hoping Glenn Quibido, and no, he is. He's feeling better. And he'll join us next Wednesday. He was under the weather tonight. For Tom Brown, Bobby Ardwan, Bruce Brown, and for the wizard behind the screen, I'm Don Allen. It's been fun, guys. It always is. We'll talk to you next Wednesday night. Don't even try to understand.